Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Yud Beis. We are continuing where we left off at the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara had asked, how do we know that the requirements for kosher schach are that number one, that they are not mekabel tumah, they're not susceptible to receiving tumah, and number two, that they gedulei karka, that they grow from the ground. Right? What did the Mishnah say? Zehaklal, kol dover she'eina mekabel tumah v'gidula min ha'aretz mesachachim bo. So the Gemara earlier that we learned brought the makar, the source, as being the eid yalim min ha'aretz, and the Gemara said, no, that doesn't really work, because that really depends on the machlokis as to whether sukkahs are sukkahs mamish or anani kovod. And then the Gemara said, well, I have a raya from another pasuk. It says, chag ha'sukkahs ta'asa lecha. Just like Chagiga is Dover She'eina Mekabel Tumah V'Gidula Min Ha'aretz, so too Sukkah is the same. And the Gemara said, no, that doesn't really work, because the Karm Chagiga is a Baal Chai, and therefore we should only be able to go and make coverings on our Sukkah, or make Schach, from, let's say, hides of kosher animals, and not from sticks or from bamboos, and things of that nature. So we ended up with the drasha of Ravin Amar of Yochanan, because it said in the pasuk, "Bi aspecha mi garncha umiyekvecha." The third line at the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. What does that mean? Goren is a granary where you go and thresh the tvua, the grain, to be able to subsequently process it into flour. And yekvecha, a yekev, is a wine press. And therefore, says the Gemara, "Bipsolas goren v'yekev kosam medaber." Those things which are psolas. Psolus, which means rejects from the threshing on the threshing floor at the granary and the pressing of the wine and the wine press, the leftovers, the remainders, the psolus, those you could use. Now, what are those remainders? What are those? So Rashi says at the top line, psolus goren, when you're dealing with the tvua, the grain, what would normally be your psolus? The kashin, that's the straw or the chaff that falls off in the threshing process, and that you don't use, you don't eat that, those would be acceptable for schach on top of the sukkah. What's psolus yekev, says Rashi? The zmoros v'ashkoilois reikonim. Zmoira are the vines of the vineyards, and an eshkoil is the cluster of grapes, but once you've taken the grapes off and you have now the remaining cluster, so that, of course, is not edible, so it's not an ochel, it's not mekabel tumah. It grew from the ground, so you can use that. I mean, one or two eshkolos is not really going to get you very far, but if you had 50 or 100 of them, so that those could fill up a few tvachim at the top of your sukkah. So that's what we learned from us. It's got to be a double, which is gedulei karka, and it's not mekabel tumah. Freit Gemara, fourth line. Ve'ema goren atzvo v'yekev atzvoi. Who says? Maybe pshat in goyren means the goyren itself. What do we mean the goyren itself? Says Rashi, perhaps what you can use for schach is the kashin with the tvua. You can use the chaff together with the original grain, and that's also acceptable for schach. Even though tvua is mekabel tumah, but nevertheless, maybe you can use that too. And maybe the eshkol, not the empty clusters, and maybe the eshkol imon oven. And therefore, all we can learn from Ba'aschcha Migoncha V'yikvecha, it's got to be a dover which is Gidule Karka. But I don't know that it's not a thing which is Mekabel Tumah. To the contrary, if I say Kashin Ima Tvua, Tvua is Mekabel Tumah, and the Anovim are Mekabel Tumah, and therefore, maybe there's only one requirement altogether, that it be Gidule Karka. And there is no separate requirement that it not be susceptible to Tumah. Every Ma'amar Abzeira Yekev Ksiv Kan. The Efshel Sakech Boy. The Torah uses the expression Yekev. Yekev, says Rashi, means wine after it has been squeezed out. You cannot use wine for Schach for obvious reasons. If you were to go and pour liquid wine at the top of your Sukkah, it's not going to stay there nicely. You'll say, please, pretty please, please stay there for the next 7 days. We need you for Schach. I mean, that's foolishness. What's going to happen? Of course, it's going to pour to the ground. So you cannot use that for schach. So, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Who says? Ve'imayayin karish. Maybe we're referring to congealed wine, habo misner, that comes from a town, from a place called Sneer. And don't sneer about that, Rabbi Sai. Because she was doing the gulid vela. When you have that congealed wine, in fact, it almost looks like cakes of figs that are pressed together. And this is congealed wine. And therefore you could use that for your schach. So you are able to use the actual yekib, the actual congealed wine for schach. So maybe then that's good schach. And don't tell me about, and it is of course mekabel tumah, because it's an ochel, it's a mashka, it's roi lekabel tumah. And therefore there's only one requirement now, that it just be gidule karka, and dispense with the other requirement about not being susceptible to tumah. Rabbi Yirmi asked such a good question that Omer Reb Zeira was so nispoil, he was so amazed. He said, "Hom miltzahav biyodon." We thought we had the makar, the source of the halach of these two requirements, and guess what? Rabbi Yirmi of Eshod Beinarga, and Rabbi Yirmi came and now he threw an axe and he destroyed our source. We thought we had a solid source. No, it's not a good source, because if that's the case, you should have to use congealed wine, which you can go and get from a yekif. My good friend, yes, what would you like to say, Barry?
The Mishnah says, congealed wine is a mekabel tumah. It's an ochal. It can be regenerated into wine.
Exactly.
So what's the point? You're saying the Mishnah, they were the appendix, is a Malayan. Are you with the Mishnah?
I obviously have not explained it well. We're trying to find the source for this halacha that you have to have both requirements. Not only the requirement that it be gidule karka, that we can dispense with, because that we know all of the cases in the Gemara talking about gidule karka, things that grow from the ground. But another requirement is that it not be mekabel tumah. And therefore the Gemara says, oh! How do I know that? Those things that I get from the granary and I get from the wine press, what are those things? Those are the kashin, and those are the zmoros and eshkolos rekadim. None of those are mekabel tumah, and that's what the Torah must be referring to. And that's the makar for our Mishnah. Says Rabbi Yirmiyah, no, maybe yekev means wine, and therefore yekev is mekabel tumah, wine is mekabel tumah, like you just said, and therefore maybe your schach can be susceptible to kabbalas tumah, and therefore there's only one requirement altogether, that it be gidule karka. Who said that there's another requirement, that it's not mekabel tumah? Sigmar said, come on, you can't be talking about wine, that's silly, because wine is a liquid, and therefore we have to be talking about solids, and you cannot ask a question, well, wine is susceptible to tumah. Then Rabbi Yirmiyah said, one second. If you go into your favorite wine store, you can go and find there on the upper shelf, they sell from the town of Sneer, they sell congealed wine. And that congealed wine looks like cakes of wine, like cakes of figs. It is obviously an ochel or a mashke, whichever way you want to look at it. And it is mekabel tumah. And that's maybe what the Torah was referring to when it says, make your schach out of congealed wine of Sneer. And if that's the case, since it is mekabel tumah, or it is roi lekabel tumah, maybe then there's only one requirement for schach. And that is be gidule karka. This other requirement that the Mishnah says, that you have to make sure that it's not susceptible to tumah, is wrong. There is no such thing if you're learning it from yekif. And therefore, it must be, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, that we're not learning it from yekif. Because if we're learning it from yekif, then you couldn't say that there are two requirements. You can only say that there's one requirement. So not that he's arguing with the Mishnah, he's just arguing with the source that Rabbi Yochanan gave. He says that doesn't work. Because if we really learn it from Yekev, since Yekev is referring to wine, and I have a case of congealed wine can be mekabel tumah, so maybe schach can be mekabel tumah. And since the Mishnah says that the schach is not allowed to be mekabel tumah, then obviously this source just doesn't work. It's not a good source. Yeah, are we on the same page, Barry? We're okay? Good. Just to, as an aside, my good friend Fred Ehrman sent me an email telling me that the word sneer is brought in the Torah. And where it's brought in the Torah, Rashi says that sneer is har chermoin. And he said that another name for sneer, and Har Hermon is Shaleg, because Har Hermon is full of snow, and therefore sneer is therefore referring to a place which was always full of snow. And that being the case, maybe that's the reason why they had the congealed wine. Maybe the wine was always freezing as a result of the cold weather. Perhaps. Anyway, we can look up the Rashi in Chumash. If you're wondering where that Rashi is, bear with me. I will check out the email once again. In Dvorim Gimel Tes, of this last week's parsha, which we learned on Shabbos, Tzidonim Yikru Lechermon Sirion, Voemoyri Yikru Lois Nir. Rashi says, Nir, who shelling Beloshin Ashkenaz, or Beloshin Canaan. That sneer is defined as snow in both Canaanite and the German language. So, that would be a reason perhaps why they would have congealed wine. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, so we are...
Where was that passage from?
That is in this week's Parsha, that means what we learned 2 days ago on Shabbos, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Tes of Parshas Dvarim. I have a Chumash in front of me, I will take it out. We'll look it up together. Gimel Tes. Tzidonim, the previous Pasuk said Har Hermon, and then the Pasuk says Tzidonim Yikru Lechermon Sirioin, Voemoyri Yikru Loi Snir. Oh, Snir. Rashi says, Snir Hu Sheleg Beloshin Ashkenaz U Beloshin Kenan. Snir is snow in both of those, Lishoinus, both of those languages. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. Zok to Yomara, and therefore we are now back to square one. I need a Makoya for our Mishnah. So Rav Ashi says, I got the Makoya. Rav Ashi Yomar, Mi Garncha V'loi Garen Atzmoy, Mi Yekvecha V'loi Yekiv Atzmoy. The drosh is not from Goren and Yekiv, it's from the Mi Garncha, the Mi Yekvecha. And that Mi comes to tell you, that's the fall off. Those are the rejects from the Goren and the Yekiv. And Rashi adds, but Osbacha, when you are collecting and gathering the rejects, in other words, Mr. Smith came in with his tremendous pile of tvu of grain, which had on it all its chaff and the hay and the straw and all the rest. He put it on the granary, the threshing floor, and the thresher did a great job in separating between the good stuff and the bad stuff. Mr. Smith took all the good stuff home, and then at the end of the day, they collected all of the rejects, if you will, the trash, and they disposed of it, or perhaps they gave it to the animals to eat, or maybe use it for firewood, or something like that. Anyway, that's in terms of the mi garncha, and mi yikvecha means you're rejecting, what are you rejecting when you get into the wine press? You're removing the wine, the vines from the vineyard, you're removing the cluster that held up the grapes. In other words, you take off the stems and all that. Those are all the rejects. And that's the Migarncha, Miyikvacha from the rejects. Not the Goyen Yekim itself, but the rejects. So finally, we have a Makar for our Schach. Rav Chisda Omer Mehocha, I have another Pasik. Now, where is this Pasik? It's the Pasik in Ezra Nehemiah, which says in the Pasik, Tzu Hahar, that you Ali Zayis, Va'ali Eitz Shemen, Va'ali Hodos, Va'ali Tmorim, Va'ali Eitz Ovois. A good state in Pasik. Now, we're missing the key words, and that is the Pasuk ends off, why should you go and assemble Tzu Ve'hiviu, bring all of these different alizais, means all these are the leaves of the olives, and the leaves of the Eitz Shemen, and the leaves of the Hodos tree, and the Tamarim, why should you do it? So the end of the Pasuk is, Lasois Sukois Kakosuv, that you should be able to go and build the Sukkah, which means the Schach and the top of the Sukkah. Ah, so from this pasuk I see that you use the alim, you use the leaves, not the peiris themselves, but the things attached to the peiris, such as the leaves and the branches and the wood, that's what you use for the schach. Okay, so that's a nice makar. But now the Gemara asks, kind of an aside, why does the pasuk say both Ali Hodos, and then at the end it says Va'ale Eitz Ovois? We know that in fact, if you look in the Torah, where do we have the mitzvah of the Arba Minim? Lekach Mechem Yom Rishon, Pri Eitz Hodor, Kapois Tamarim, Vanaf Eitz Ovois, Va'arvi Nochav. So Anaf Eitz Ovois is a name of, it's a synonym for the word Hodos. So why would the pasuk say both Alei Eitz Avos and Alei Hadas in the same breath? We're just repeating ourselves. Frank Dimara, Alei Eitz Avos, Haino Hadas, Haino Eitz Avos. Why do we repeat it twice in the same pasuk? Amrav Chizda, Hadas Shoyte Lesuka, the Eitz Avos La Lulav. The Eitz Avos means, as you know, what means Anath Eitz Avos? We'll learn Mietshem later on in our Masechta, that each one of the rows of leaves on the Hadassim, there have to be three leaves coming out from the same point on the stem. And that has to go down 10, 20, whatever rows of leaves until you have a full amma of schayra of these leaves. And they all have to come three out of one. The Gemara later on tells us what happens if you have Hadassim where you only have two and one. Two coming out from the same hole on the stem, and then one right below it. And if you look carefully at your hadassim, if you're picking hadassim among unpackaged hadassim, that is a very frequent occurrence. In fact, the vast majority of the hadassim are not 3-3-3-3, but rather they're 2-1, 2-1. And you have many which are a hybrid, which means that the top half, or the top two-thirds of it happens to be 3-3-3, and as you get down to the bottom, it's 2-1. And those are kosher b'diavad if it's a miut, not if it's rife. Those achilat should be mishulish from top to bottom. Okay. Anyway, so what the Gemara is telling us is that the non-kosher adasim, which are 2-1, 2-1, those you're going to use for sukkah. Those you're going to use for the schach. And what it says about the eitz avos, that means lulav, that you're going to use that as your third or the fourth minim, of the four minim for the lulav. Yes, Barry.
It's unusual. We have in the Mishnah, usually the Mishnah will say something, and there'll be a deer. Here we have the Tanai couple, Zerah Kol, Moshe, Kabbalah, and Glumanaris, Sachambo. And we come to Glumanaris, what's this unusual language in the Mishnah where we both say A and not A? I mean, it's atypical. Usually we're deviating from what it says. Is this a
mistake? No, you're right that the Mishnah seems to be repetitive. If you recall, when we learned this Mishnah this morning, I pointed out that this Zeh HaKlal is also, there's a bit of a disconnect, because usually Zeh HaKlal means that you have the halach in general terms or in certain examples, and then the Mishnah wants to conclude, Rabbi Yisai, don't get lost in the forest for the trees, or the trees for the forest, whatever the metaphor is. Remember, what's the halacha? Zeh HaKlal. Before that, the Mishnah wasn't even dealing with issues of Kabbalah's Tumah and Gidul Min HaAretz. We were dealing with issues either related to the din of Tasim Le Min HaAsui, or whether Roiv can be Mavatl, can you go and cut it? That was the discussion we had earlier today. It has nothing to do with the din whether these are Makabal Tumah, not Makabal Tumah, whether Gidul HaAretz or not. So this comes out of left field, Zeh HaKlal, and the Mefarshim already point out that this is very unusual. So you're just adding to the extraordinary, unusual nature by saying that it's in fact being repetitive. Now, looking at this in a vacuum, only the Zeh HaKlal on its own, you could say that Rabbeinu HaKodesh wanted to say it very emphatically, and therefore don't make any mistakes. It's got to have both conditions. If you don't have both conditions, it's not kosher. If you have both conditions, it is kosher. But one without the other doesn't do the trick. You have to have both. You do them in the aretz, and it's not susceptible to tumah. As one last aside, we always say hadas shoyte, which shoyte means that it's, this hadas could have been smart and could have been 3-3-3-3. Instead, it grew 2-1, and therefore it's a shoyte. It's not qualified to be a hadas. I was once learning either Chumash or Gemara on the subway, and sat down next to me out of nowhere what appeared to me to be a Yemenite chacham. And he saw what I was learning, and he said, I want you to know that one should not pronounce it hadas shote, one should pronounce it hadas sote, with a sin. And what it comes to tell you is that it's sot, it has diverted from the way it should be. And he brought me a raya from the soita that we have in the Chumash and Parshas Nosai, that also, why is she called a soita? Because she's also sot. She is gone, if you will, off the derech. She's supposed to be loyal to her husband, and unfortunately she's suspected of potential adultery. So she's sot, she's detoured, gotten off the derech. So he said the same thing applies. It wasn't his pshat. He told it to me from an earlier, and maybe it was the Rekeach or Rikanti, which goes back a few hundred years ago. And he said that it really should be Hadas Soita, that this Hodas was doing so beautifully, 3-3-3-3, and all of a sudden, the car went off the path and became 2-1, and it was not in the correct order. Rashi, by the way, in Chumash, says another pshat, Al Pidrush, that the reason why the Soita is called a Soita, and why it's next to the parish of Nazir, because Ein Odom Choyte El Imkein Nichnas Bei Ruach Shtus. Therefore, the Soita has to do with Shtus, that she acted foolishly, and that's the reason why she's Chote, and therefore Yazir Asman Ayayim, etc. Anyway, but I just wanted to point out that according to this Pshat, then the word should not be pronounced Shoyte, it should be pronounced Soita, because the leaves are off the derech. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is a fascinating Mishnah, and the Gemara beneath it, below it, here on the Amud Aleph, is also quite fascinating, as we'll see in Mi'at Hashem. And it will take up a little bit of our time. The Amud Beis, however, is quite straightforward and should go fairly quickly. In Zokta Mishnah, Chavilei Kash, Chavilim are packages, bundles of kash, of straw, the Chavilei Eitzim, bundles of branches, of pieces of wood. We don't mean lumber, of course. We mean, you know, natural wood as you cut it off the tree, and you have bundles of those. The Chavili Zrodin, if you have a bundle of Zrodin, Rashi says Zrodin is a type of konim, which means a type of reed. You have these bundles. You put them on top of your sukkah, and you say, hey, these seem to qualify. After all, number one, they're all gidulei karka. Number two, they're not mekabel tuma. So, they're not kalim, they're not begodim, they're not ochel. So, they should not be mekabel tuma. Nevertheless, as the Mishnah, ein mesachim ben, you're not allowed to use them for schach. Why? We're going to see in the Gemara two possible reasons. Stay tuned for the Gemara. The kulin, but all of these three bundles, shatiran, if you were to cut it open, and now spread it out, ksheiris, then they're okay. It's only a problem when they are bundled. When the individual kash, eitzim, zrodim, no problem. Bundles is where you have the problem. So open them up, and they'll be kosher. The kulin, ksheiris, litvanas. And of course, all of them are kosher for the tvanas, means for the walls, because the whole discussion that we had in the Mishnah about the zeha klal only relates to the schach and not to the walls. You can make out of anything. You can make the walls out of metal, if you will. Even though metal you cannot use for your schach, but you can use it for the walls, no problem. So everything that we discussed is for the schach. Zotimar, Omer Yankiv, Shabbos Minimit Rav Yochanan Tarti. I heard two reasons from Rav Yochanan. One reason applies to our Mishnah Chodoha, the Mishnah which we just learned, and another reason which applies to the Idach, another Mishnah. And this other Mishnah is on Daf Tezvav. We made reference to it yesterday. However, it's an actual Mishnah, Daf Tezvav, Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the Amud, where it says, HaChote Begodish Lasis Leisukah, Eina Sukah. A godish means like a haystack. Whether or not you're looking for the needle is not crucial to the discussion. It's irrelevant. The point is that you have the haystack, and let's assume that it's at least 10 tefachim tall, all made out of hay. The reason why you have a haystack is because you gathered the hay from the field and you made a haystack out of it. And now it's getting sukkahs. And the person says, you know what, I have an excellent idea. Instead of having to go and build four walls and put schach on top, I'm just going to go and engrave or carve out a small opening into this haystack. It'll be large enough for Rosho Verubo de Shulchanoi, 7 Tvachim by 7 Tvachim. Beis Shammai says that's kosher. I'm going to put in a little table, a little chair. I'll sit inside. I got myself a kosher sukkah. Says the Mishnah on Daf Tezvav, Achoyted Begodish Lasalei Sukkah, Eina Sukkah, it doesn't work. So we have both our Mishnah which says that these bundles don't work, and we have that other Mishnah which says that you carve out of your haystack, that doesn't work. So says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yankov, Rabbi Yochanan, when he learned these two Mishnayos, he explained, Chod, one of them is no good, Mishum Gezeiras Oitzer, we'll explain that in a moment, but Chod, and one of them is Mishum Tasev Lemen Osri. So Rabbi Yankov says, I remember distinctly that Rabbi Yochanan spoke about both Mishnayos. Both of them we said is possible. One of them he said is possible because of Tasa Lemina Asui, and the other because of the din of Gezeiras Oitzer. Now, what are those two? So the Tasa Lemina Asui we spoke about already yesterday, and that is that since it says in the Pasuk, Chag HaSukkos Tasa Lecha Shivas Yomim, the Yom Tov HaSukkos Tasa Lecha, the Gemara darshins that when you put the schach on top of the four walls, it has to be qualified schach, kosher schach at that time. If you started off with non-kosher schach, and then subsequently you changed it into kosher schach, no good. We got to remove all of that bad schach from on top of the walls. And that's why we spoke earlier today, in the Gemara of yesterday, on Gemara of Daf Yed Aleph, that what happens if you initially put on the frame of the sukkah, you put a trellis of vines, or the gourd vines, or ivy. We have machlokes in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel, what do you need to get away from the tas of Olam HaOsi? Because after all, the trellises and the ivy are all mechubba lekarka, and therefore it's posel eschach. What do you do? So Rav said, all you have to do is just cut the schach, and that's sufficient. In other words, cut the trellises and the ivy, so it's no longer mechubber, and it's kosher. Says Shmuel, no, that doesn't do the trick. Why? Because since when you put it on initially, it was possible. When you go and cut it now, what you're trying to do is make it kosher now. But Tasa tells you it's got to be kosher ab initio. When you started putting the schach on, it had to be kosher then, not subsequently. Because if only subsequently you've kosherized the schach by cutting it, then it is osui. It means it was already fabricated with posel eschach, and therefore you didn't tasa, you didn't start off building your sukkah with kosher schach from the beginning. No good. Now this problem of tasa lemna osui is a diaraisa, because the Gemara is darshaning it from the Pasuk. Shivas Yomim Tasa, Chag HaSukkos Tasa, Shivas Yomim Tasa, you gotta do an Asiya. Asiya means that you have to start off this Chag HaSukkos with kosher schach. If you start off with non kosher schach, posel min haTorah. That is one reason. Then there's a second reason. Gezeiras Oitzer. Gezeiras Oitzer means, explains Rashi, a person has a shed, or he has some backyard enclosure where he leaves things there for long-term storage, 3 months, 6 months, a year, and he basically doesn't use that storage bin or storage shed except from time to time to store hay, to store wood, things of that nature. Now it comes Sukkos. The person is going to say to himself, hey, you know what? It just occurred to me. Instead of having to go and do this back-breaking building of a sukkah, I already have that shed. I'm just going to go and enter into the shed, and especially if it has hay on top of it, wonderful. I'll be able to go and make sure that it's at least 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, and I'll put in the shulchan and a chair, and I'll sit there and I'll eat my cholent and kugel, and I'll eat all the stuff that I eat on sukkahs, and that's going to be great. The problem is that is not great, because we already learned before in the Gemara that even though sukkah is ganbach and rakbash, remember ganbach were those sukkahs that were made for people that are not mechuyav, such as goyim, noshim, behemois, and kusim, that was the ganbach. And then we also had the rakbash, which were for people that are mechuyav, but only use it on a temporary basis, like the royim or the kayotzim, borginin, and the shemrei peiros. So those we said, even though those are all kosher, but it has to be that the schach was l'shem tzel. Did you put the schach on top of it to have shade? In the case of the oitzer, the reason why you put together the oitzer, not for a person to sit in and to have the benefit of shade, you did it as a storage bin. And therefore, if there happens to be a covering of schach, even if it's kosher schach, since that schach was not put l'shem tzel, for shade. Nobody's drinking a Coca-Cola there during the summer months to get a nice breeze. The reason why you do it is because its storage, it would not be kosher for a sukkah. And therefore, says our Gemara, both our Mishnah and the Mishnah of the Chotet Begodesh Lechora are susceptible to both reasons. Our Mishnah talks about Chavila Kashra, Chavila Yetzer, Chavila Yizrodin. We'll see in the Gemara shortly what happens if they were originally put up because they were wet. You have a moist group of Kash, Eitzim and Zrodim, and the reason why you put it on top of your sukkah was to dry out. Oh, so you didn't put it for schach at all. You just put it because there was a nice open area. You want to make sure nobody's going to steal it. You put it on top of four-walled sukkah. Not l'shem schach, but l'shem liyabesh, to dry up. Okay, a day or two or 3 days later, in fact, it's nice and dry. And you say, wow, let's use that for schach. You cannot, because of tase v'loy mino osui. Because when you put it up, it wasn't intended for the shein tzeil. It was intended for drying out. It's considered to be quote-unquote posel at the time. It's not tas. Tas would be l'shem sukkis. He didn't do l'shem sukkis. He didn't do l'shem tzeil. He just did it as a convenient place to dry out his bundles of tvua or eitzim or kash, not tvua, but kash eitzim was radim. Therefore, you have the tas of l'imina osui prat. But what happens if I put up a bundle of kash or eitzim azradim l'chatchila l'shem sukkis? They were dry. I better especially put it up l'shem sukkah. If you hold the svara of gzeiras oitzer, is also no good. Because if I'm going to allow you to go and have these bundles on top, not opened, but bundled, that reminds us of how you store these types of bundles in a beis ha'oitzer. And therefore, I'm going to say, if I can use a sukkah with these bundles of kash and eitzim and zrodim, I might come to go and make a sukkah out of my oitzer, out of my shed, out of my storage bin in the backyard. And that certainly wasn't made litzel, and it wasn't meant l'shem sukkah, so it wouldn't be kosher. So I could apply both reasons to our Mishnah, either because of the tas of lemon osui, or I could apply the reason because of the gzeiras oitzer. And I could apply those two reasons as well to the chatitas hagodish, the carving out of the hay from this haystack. Number one, I have a tassel and an ossi problem. When I put the haystack together, at that point it wasn't l'shem tzeil, l'shem schach. It was just a stack of hay. And now when I carve out an opening into it, I'm not putting up the schach. The schach is already there. It's ossui. Tassel and an ossi. Or you have the second problem of the gzeiras ha'oitzer. What's gzeiras ha'oitzer? That if you're going to allow a person to go and carve that out, then a person is going to take his shed, his storage bin, and he's going to make some room there, put in a table and a chair, and say, I got a sukkah. So both our Mishnah and the Mishnah of the Chatitas HaGodesh would seem to be receptive or susceptible to both explanations. Now you're going to tell me, who cares what the explanation is? There's a big nafkim in it. Because tas v'lem na'osui is a d'oraisa min ha-Torah, while the din of the gzeiras oitzer, by the name gzeira, you know, is a din d'rabbanan. So you're saying, okay, so here's the osu mid'oraisa, here's the osu mid'rabbanan. What's the nafkim in it? Well, a simple nafkim in it would be that if it's osu min ha-Torah, then you have not been mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah. While if it's only gzeira drabanan, midrabanan you shouldn't have done it, but lemais, if you sat in the sukkah, at least you mekayim the mitzvah deraisa. The rabanan are angry at you, but you mekayim mitzvah deraisa. So you're going to tell me, no, once the rabanan made the gzeira, they disqualified the sukkah totally. It's as if you're sitting outside on the lawn without any sukkah. Another nafkimina. The way you can remedy tas of lemana osui, how do you remedy it? By, when for instance we spoke about the ivy and the trellises, the way is linanea, to go and pick it up and shake it. So here too, if you're telling me the problem with the chavili kash and chavili eitzel with tas of lemana osui, I have a remedy for it. I'll just shake it up and down, I'll open it and scatter it and pick it up and put it down, it'll be kosher. However, if you're worried about gzeiras oitzer, the people will think you're allowed to go and make a shed or a storage bin into a sukkah, that's going to remain. There's no way of curing that by shaking and pushing up and down the sach. Gzeiras oitzer will remain. So therefore, we got to know what's the reason for our Mishnah, what's the reason for the other Mishnah, and that's what Rabbi Yankov said, Shamas Mineid Rabbi Yochanan Tarti, our Mishnah and that Mishnah, one was because Tassel and Asli, one was because Xeris Oitzer, and I don't know which one is which. It's Omer of Yirmiya. Nechsi Anan says Rabbi Yirmiya, let's try to figure it out on our own. Since Rabbi Yaakov is quoting Rabbi Yochanan, I'm going to quote the Omer of Chia Bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba says the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Neima Omru Chavili Kash. Why does it say in our Mishnah that you're not allowed to use the bundles of kash, etim and zrodim, to be mesachich, to go and use for schach? I'll tell you why. A person might come from the field in the evening, and he's carrying a bundle of the kash or the etim, and it's all wet. And he wants it to dry out. So what does he do? Umala, he goes and lifts it up. And he puts it on a square or rectangular sukkah, which has four walls, but without any roof to it, without any schach. And he leaves it in the yabsha to dry out. And that's why he puts the bundles there, figure he'll leave it there for a day or two or three. There's going to be heavy duty sun, and that's going to dry it all out. And he was successful. He comes back 3 days later. There's not a drop of moisture left. And then he says, you know what? It's almost Sukkot time. Let me leave it ready there for schach. And the Torah says, that's no good, because when you put it on originally, you didn't intend it for tzeil. So therefore it was disqualified. Now you want to limafreya, retroactively reinstate it, you can't, because when you put it on lechatchila, it's got to be at that time totally qualified l'shem sukkah, and you can't go and change the course of history. What you could, of course, do is be menaneya it, go and lift it up, shuckle it out, open it up, spread it out, do something like we had in the Gemara yesterday. Now, that's what they are quoting in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Now, you would think, so that means our Mishnah is because of Tassim and Asui. Because after all, that's how he starts off. The name Omru Chavile Kash Chavile Eitzim, and he finishes off Tavlas Asui. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Megahom, Yishim Zeres Oitzer. What we meant to say, what Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he's referring to the Zeres Oitzer. He's not referring to Tassim and Asui. Where is that? It seems to say just the opposite. It seems to say Tassim and Asui. So Rashi, the Mepharshim, explained. You have to go and parse the two parts of this Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan starts off, Mepnei Ma'omru. Ma'omru means we're talking about Chazal. The Rabbanon, not the Araisa. Why did the Rabbanon say in our Mishnah, that Chavi the Kashvachi, the Eitzvachi, the Zrodim, ain't Mesachim behem? You know why it can't be Mesachich? Our Mishnah is talking about that they put it up, L'shem Sukkis. It's Erev Sukkis, and he put these bundles up. Not to dry. They were beautiful, dry, fine, good, geschmack, and he puts it on the shame sukkahs. So there's no issue here of tassel and osi at all. Totally kosher. Do you know why the Chacham say in our Mishnah that it's a mesachim then? You cannot use it for schach. I'll tell you why. Because there will be parallel situations. Because pa'amim in other occasions, on other occasions, an other b'manasada person comes from the field. And he's going to go and put this chavila on top of the sukkah. K'deliyabsha to go and dry out. And if he does that, and afterwards it dries out and he leaves it there, that's going to be possible bishum tasim lim and asui. So even though in our case this is totally inappropriate, because he didn't put it on to dry out, he put it on because he wanted to use it for schach, gezeira mishum, a case where he put it to dry out. And that's what the Gemara also includes within the parameters of gezeira so oitzer, because oitzer means to store something, and that's the reason why he put it on top of the sukkah, because initially in the case where it was wet, he wants to allow it to dry, and he doesn't want it to become full of mold and mildew. So he leaves it there, and then it dries out. If you were to leave it on the sukkah, tasvelim and osui, pasul min ha-Torah, even in our case, where he put it l'shem sukkis, not to dry out, l'shem mitzvah sukkah, it's also no good, mishum gzeiras ha-oitzer, because of other occasions, like the case of the drying, where he's not doing it l'shem tzeil, or l'shem sukkah, but he's doing it l'shem drying out, which is what the Gemara calls, in a broad sense, gzeiras ha-oitzer. Now that we've concluded, based on this Reb Chia bar Abba, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that our Mishnah Mishum Gzeiras Oitzer, that other Mishnah about the Godish, the Mishum Tasev Eloi Mina Osui, so we've been able to be poshet Rabbi Yankiv's Shaila. Freitimur, Rabbi Yankiv, why didn't he give this answer? Why did I need Rabbi Yermi to give this answer? See, Mora says simply, this Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is also the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Says Rabbi Yankiv, I wasn't there on the same day when Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. I never heard it, and so therefore, he knows the right reason, but I didn't hear that, and that's why I had my Shaila. Phil, you have a question.
Yes, thank you. Why does unbundling help? Because you would think this person who's coming in from the field got their bundle, they want to dry it out, they unbundle it and lay it out, which sounds like, by the Mishnah, a perfect repair. And yet, this is what we're trying to avoid.
So look at the Mishnah again. I thank you for bringing this to our attention. The Mishnah starts off, Chavi Lekash, Eitzim Zorim Eim Esachim Behem. However, the Kulin Shaitirin, if you open up the bundles and pull out all the kash, spread out and scatter the kash, Eitzim and Zradim, then it would be fine. In other words, it would be akin to a situation like today. Most sukkahs in America, they put the bamboo sticks on top of the sukkah. If you had bundles of bamboo sticks together and you put on the sukkah, no good. Because, according to our Gemara Mishum Gzeder Sa'oitzer, it looks like you're storing. And in fact, we have a sukkah out here in Monroe, and every year we take the sukkah schach out of the storage bin, unroll it, and put it on top of the sukkah. At the end, we wrap it up again, we bundle it up, put a nice string around it, and we put it into the shed for the rest of the year. So, if I leave it bundled on top of the sukkah, it looks like it's still in storage, like oitzer. Once I open it up, I'm showing, I don't want it for oitzer now, I want l'shem sukkahs now, and then it's kosher.
Person was thinking, I just want to dry it out.
Yeah.
Would that lead to unbundling?
No, they had tied it very. I mean, the person could unbundle it, but in fact, the person did not want to unbundle it because if he does, then he's going to have to tie it up again, and that involves, of course, time and money and tircha and energy. And I'll just leave it there. Of course, if it's unbundled, presumably it'll dry out in one day. If it's bundled, it'll take 3 days. I'm not in any hurry. Leave it 3 days. I'll leave it for a week until the whole thing becomes dried out. Good. Okay, so therefore the Gemara Echoyda has been poshed. Our Shaila, our Mishnah Mishum Gzeres Oitzer, and the other Mishnah about Godish and Mishum Tas of Eloi Menha Osri. Om Ravashi, we're on the first wide line down below. Om Ravashi, you know, I really don't understand what's going on, says Ravashi. Ota Chavile Kash v'Chavile Eitzim Mishum Gzeres Oitzer Ika Mishum Tas of Eloi Menha Osri. Leka, va'achoyted begodish mishum tasul mena osi ika mishum gzeres oitzer leka. What Ravashi basically is saying is, you know, each one of these reasons is applicable to both cases. So why, in fact, did Rabbi Yochanan need to go and distinguish and say our mishnah is gzeres oitzer, the godish mishnah is because tasul mena osi? Both reasons the Chayyur apply to both cases. Both in our Mishnah, I have to be concerned about Tasalim and Osri, that if it was wet schach, maybe I'm fishing. Our Mishnah talking about wet schach. It doesn't say, it just says bundles. If I have bundles and I put it up on top, I didn't do it l'shem tzeh or l'shem sukkah. I just put it there to dry out. If afterwards I change my mind and I open it up, l'shem sukkahs, the Braisa, not the Braisa, but the memory of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, the name of Rabbi Yochanan said, it'll be possible to Tasalim and Osri. So maybe that's taka the real pshat in our Mishnah. Not because of Xerisoids, or because of both. And the same thing by the Godish. Why do we have to choose and say, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, that our Mishnah is talking about Oitzer, and that's talking about Tasum and Osri, there the Svar of Xeris Oitzer is equally applicable. That what? That I have this large haystack, I'm leaving it there for the next 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, until I need it for cattle fodder, or I need to go and use it for fuel to warm up my stove or whatever. And it's in a sense like an oitzer. And if I carve out part of it and I sit inside, that's exactly the oitzer that I'm concerned that people are not going to build sukkahs. They're going to go and use their storage bins in their sheds. as their sukkah, even though it's not l'shem sukkah and not l'shem tzel. So both Mishnah is susceptible to both pshatim. Rabbi Yochanan Malach, were Rabbi Yochanan around to ask him? Not that Rabbi Yochanan actually spoke, because if he was here to ask, what was Rabbi Yankov Shaila? Rabbi, Vosotin Gezak, what did Rabbi, what did you say? Which one is which? So Rabbi Yochanan would tell you, so now what the Gemara does is does a very, very careful examination of the text. Something that Barry always enjoys, and that is, if you look at our Mishnah, it doesn't say Chavili Kash, Chavili Eitzim, Chavili Zrodim, Psulim Haim. It says Ein Mesachken Ben. Don't use them for Schach. But go down to the other Mishnah that we were quoting before. That's two lines after the Gemara. Hachotet, that's the Mishnah on Daf Tezvot. Hachotet begodish lasot a sukkah, ain't a sukkah, sinish good, it's parcel, it's not a sukkah. Why didn't we use the same expression in our Mishnah? Ain't a sukkah. If you put kash and eitzim and zrodim in bundles, it's not, no, it's just don't be mesachach. It doesn't say over there, don't be chotet betoch a godish. It says if you were chotet begodish godish, ain't a sukkah. Why is there the change in terminology? So up to you, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lach, Hacha D'Tanayim Mesachim Behen, Lechatchila Hu D'Ein. Ah, our Mishnah is telling us in a very subtle way, don't do it Lechatchila. You know why not? Onto the Amud Beis. Mishum Gzeres Oitzer, because of that Gzeres Rabbanah. Hadiyaraisa Shafet Domi. Min HaTorah, this was a perfect sukkah. No problem. I put it up L'Shem Tzchach, L'Shem Sukkis, L'Shem Tzel. It wasn't L'Shem drying, and therefore Min HaTorah is great. Midraban, no, Rabban say don't do it. Gzeres Oitzer. But Hasib Nitani Ein HaSukkah, Afil HaDiyavit, even B'diyavit it doesn't work. That's how Rabbi Yochanan knew that you have to distinguish between the two cases, and you cannot say that the both cases are the same. Okay, the next few lines are much, much simpler. You just want to add one little knetch, that's one little wrinkle. If you're wondering how many eitzim or zrodim or kash constitute a chavila, a bundle, our Gemara doesn't address it. We're going to have a Gemara tomorrow morning in Mishnah that's going to address it, and I see already our good friend David is putting up three fingers, and the reason why he's putting up the three fingers is because he either remembers from the last Machzor, or because of encyclopedic knowledge of Masechta Sukkah, that we're going to see Mishnah and Daf Yud Gimel, and Aleph, the Gemara is going to say that a bundle is three, is the minimum. However, the Toises here on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the last Toises, brings a Yerushalmi, it's got to be a minimum of 25. But David brought tomorrow's Gemara that says it's going to be 3. So Mi'at Hashem, we get to that Gemara, if I remember, Mi'at Hashem, and if not, David or Barry or Phil or somebody will remind me, Brother Shai, we will deal with it at that time. Our Tosis brings 25, and for the Gemara tomorrow, it sounds like it's 3. Okay, on to a new halacha. Omer Yina Merav. What does this mean? The word over here, chitzim, is referring to arrows, but more particularly, it's referring to the handle of an arrow. Now, if you've ever seen how real arrows are constructed, the head of the arrow is made out of metal, so that it should go and pierce someone or something and to cause a tremendous amount of harm, while the major portion, you want to call it the handle of the arrow, is typically made out of much, much lighter material like wood. Now, as we know, when it comes to wood, some kalim of wood are mekabel tumah and some are not. And the basic rule is that if it has a clay kibble means if it has something that can hold, like a glass made out of wood, a cup made out of wood, a plate made out of wood, where you can put liquid or solids on it and it holds, that has a clay kibble. If it's totally flat, like a flat table made out of wood, if it's just a flat wooden board, it's called, it does not have a clay kibble, it's pshutei kli eitz. Pshutei kli eitz are not mekabel tumah. So now, we're dealing with the arrow handles. These arrow handles are made out of wood. There are two ways of constructing them. One way is that the metal arrow has a protruding piece of metal at the back, which fits into a convenient hole in the wooden handle.
That shaft, maybe.
Shaft, okay, shaft, thank you.
Shaft,
thank you. Not the handle, but shaft, I appreciate it, thank you. So, if that shaft has a hole in it, the Gemara calls it, euphemistically, it's a nekeva, just like a nekeva has a hole. On the other hand, if it's the other way around, where the shaft has the protruding piece of wood that goes into a hole in the metal arrow, then the Gemara calls that a zohar. What difference does it make if it has a hole, it doesn't have a hole? All the difference in the world. If it has a hole in it, will you place the arrow, metal arrow, into the hole of the wood, of the shaft? Guess what? It has a clay kibble, it's a makabel tumah. On the other hand, if it only has a protruding piece of wood that goes into the hole of the metal, then it's pshutikli eitz, and it's not makabel tumah. And that's what the Gemara tells us. Since we said that the schach at the top of the sukkah may not be susceptible to tumah, may not be makabel tumah, so which shafts would you be able to use? The zechorim shafts, those that do not have a hole, and you could not use the nekevoi shafts because they do have a hole. So that's very straightforward. Om Rav Yudam Rab, schocha, if you put schach, bechitzin, chitzin means not the arrows themselves, but the arrow shafts, schorim, where there is no hole in it, kshayr, then it's kosher. But nekevus, if you're talking about a shaft that does have a hole, then it's still, it's possible. So Frank Timura, no, of course, schorim kshayr. If there's no hole, it's pshutikliyates, and not makabel tumah. What's the chidush? Pshita. Such a mouth of same enigs as schorim, what's nekevus, kamash bolon. After all, the average individual who never learned Masechta Sukkah and is not sufficiently familiar with Tumah V'Tahara would say to himself, come on, what difference does it make? This is a shaft of an arrow. This is sticking out and this is sticking in. Who cares if it's kosher when it's quote-unquote Scharim? It's got to be kosher when it's Nekevus. It doesn't make sense. But he, of course, doesn't realize that every schach has to be a dover she'enoi mekabel tumah. If it has a hole, it has a clay kibble, it can be mekabel tumah. And if it doesn't, not. He doesn't know that distinction. I would think, let's make a gzera. Kamashul, and we don't make a gzera. But then he says, continuing, b'nekevois psula, if it has a hole, then it's potlum p'shita, p'shita. As a clay kibble, of course it's mekabel tumah. Of course it's possible for schach. Says, you amau the same base kibble osi l'malis leishim a kibble. I would think, when does a piece of wood have the status of it being a bas kibble? That's only if it has a permanent bas kibble. In other words, like a wooden cup that at any time of the day you can fill it up with water or with soup or a liquid, and you can pour it out and fill it up again and pour it out, you know, numerous times. Mashenki, when you're dealing with arrows and shafts, it's not intended that you're going to remove it. The intention is to leave it on the arrow until you shoot the arrow and finish. So there, it's intended to be mole at all times, and therefore maybe, if they probably even put glue on it or something, that it shouldn't easily fall off. And that being the case, it's a base kibble, osil malos, it's a base kibble that is intended to at all times be filled. Maybe that's solution may kibble. Kamash malon makes no difference as long as it does have a hole. And you could recreate the hole by pulling out the arrow. It's makabel tuma, and you cannot use it for sach. Another halacha. Om Rav Bchanan, Rav Yoichanan. Sechocha b'anitzei pishton psula, hutznei pishton kshayra, hushnei pishton eini yadea mahu. Not only that, v'hushnei atzman eini yadea. I don't even know what hushnei are. Now what is this all about? Pishton, as you know, is flax. And from flax, we make linen garments. Oh, how do you take flax and make linen garments? So, the Gemara tells us that there are three stages in processing. Stage number one is soaking it. You gotta take the flax and soak it in water. Stage number two, you take it out of the water and you start beating it. You beat it and probably get out as a result some of the impurities, or you, as a result, you make it flatter. And then number three, what you have to do is you have to go and comb it. Go and comb it with a very strong comb back and forth. And then now you're gonna have linen fibers or strands, and you'll be able to go and make linen out of it. Okay, as long as it's raw pishton, there's no question it's not mekabel tumah, and you can use it for the top of your sukkah. Once it becomes full-fledged linen, it's a beged, what's roy to be a beged? Beged is mekabel tumah. So, what about the stages in between? That's what the Gemara refers to now. So, Amar Bachan Abri Yechanan. Tzchach, if he made tzchach, be anitze pishton. Anitze pishton means it's processed flax. And therefore, all three stages have been accomplished. We have soaked it, we beat it, and we also combed it. Then it's certainly possible, because it's already deemed to be like beged, like cloth, and it's mekabel tuma, possible for schach. Hutznei pishton is at the other extreme. It is still unprocessed. I don't know yet at what stage of unprocessing, but I know it's unprocessed. And that's kosher because it's not like beged, and it's not mekabel tuma. Hushnei pishton is somewhere in between. It's not the finished processed flax or linen, and it's not the raw, unprocessed chutzni. And therefore, any idea, I don't know what the halach is. Would it be good for schach or not? Not only that, for hushni atzvan, any idea. I don't even know what the definition of hushni, this middle process. And the Gemara tells us, what is the kler? What's the shaila? Why does it say any idea? See, Gemara says, man afshach. My shaila is the following. Do I say that e dayik v'lo nofitz hushni karilei? Do I say dayik? Dayik means that is the beating. Nofitz means the combing. Am I referring to a case where it's already been soaked? It's already been beaten, but it hasn't been combed? And that's the hushni karilei. And that's my shaila. Is that considered to be flax, which is not mekabel tuma? Or is it close enough to linen that it is mekabel tuma? Aval tori v'lo dayik. What happens if you were tori, which means you only soaked it? You didn't even beat it yet. Only soaked it, only the first stage. Then hutzni karile. That would be called hutzni, which we said hutzni is kosher. It's not mekabel tuma, kosher for schach. So that would be one definition. That hushni means that it was both tori the dayik, but we didn't finish off the processing because it was not nuffits, it was not combed. Oidilma, maybe tori v'loidayik nami hushni karilei. Maybe hushni means that it was soaked but not beaten. That is the case of the hushni. And what would be the case of the hutzni? Case of the hutzni is that you didn't even soak it yet. That's why, since you didn't even soak it, that's why it's full-fledged flax. But once you're tori, once you soak it, even though you didn't do the beating yet, and you certainly didn't do the combing, maybe that's already on its way to be mekabel tuma. Says the Gemara, I don't know what the halach is. So, when it comes to hushni, not only don't I know what the halach is, I don't even know what the definition of hushni is. That's the end of that shtickl. One final shtickl. Omer Yehuda, hani shushi v'shvatzri mesachichin behu. You're allowed to go and use shushi and shvatzri. Now, what are those? So Rashi says at the bottom of the Yomud, shushi and shvatzri, three lines from the bottom, it's mina yirokois. It's different types of vegetables. And the look at the next line, busha alav rechovin the godl bi'arim. It has very broad leaves, and they grow in the forests. Now, the last line, mesachichin behem, you can use them for schach, she'enem mekablam tumlefi, she'enem machal odam. People don't eat it. Doesn't mean that you cannot eat it, but it's not a normal food that's eaten by human beings. It's normally eaten, let's say, by behemoths. It's a machal behema and a not a machal odam. So we have a machloikis about this. Omer Yehuda, hani shushi shvatzri mesachichin behem, because they're not ochel, they're just yirokos. Yirokos obviously are gedulei karka. Since it's not eaten by human beings, it doesn't have the status of ochel, it's not mekabel tuma, and it's a good schach. Abaye agrees in principle, but Abaye says there is another issue. Abaye Omar b'shushi mesachin. I agree fully on the shushi case. B'shvatzri loy mesachin. There, I disagree. You know why, my timer? On to the top of the Amud Aleph. Kivon v'sori reichayu. They have, unfortunately, a bad odor to them. Shavik lehu v'nafik. The average individual, when he's invited into that sukkah, and he smells the schach, he says, this sukkah is not for me. I'm going to be bothered by this odor. I'm leaving the sukkah, I'm going to another sukkah. You remember that we had early on in Masechta the concept of Adira Serucha, that you can't even live in this sukkah. So our Gemara is telling us, according to Abaye, that the Shvatzri Schach, although it's kosher schach mitzad atzmo, mitzad the fact that it's kedud karka and not mekabel tumah, but it has such a bad odor, the average individual is going to leave, and therefore, no good, you cannot use it for schach. The Mefarshim say that this Gemara is talking about min derabanan. It is not the type of smell which is totally intolerable by anybody and any and everybody in all situations. Because if nobody can sit and nobody can tolerate this terrible smell, then it would be min deraisa a dava poshet that this sukkah is no good. It's, we learn from the in the Gemara teishvu ke'en taduru. You have to be able to sit in the sukkah like you live a whole year. If you live in a whole year in a place where it stunk, you'd move out. It just, you couldn't tolerate it. So if the stench is so terrible, so overwhelming, it would be awesome in Atayr. What would be possible in Atayr? What Abai is saying is, it's not that bad. It's just that it has enough of a bad odor that your reasonable man is going to say, you know, this is not for me. I'm going to go across the street. The other shul has a nice sukkah. There's no bad smell. I'd rather go over there than stay over here. So Midrabanan says, Abai, it's not a good sukkah. Now we're just going to finish off the next three lines because it's really the same. Om Rav Chanan Bar Rava, Hani Hizmi Vihigi. This is referring to a schach that is made out of thorns, like thorns and thistles. Mesachimbu. They grow from the ground. Nobody eats thorns. And therefore it's kosher schach. It's not mekabel tuma. It's gidulei karka. By Omar Behizmi Mesachim. You can use Hizmi, no problem. However, Behigi loy Mesachim. But you can't go with Higi. Why, my time? Kivinatri torfayu shovik lovinofik. Because higi, those types of thorns are such, they're, I think, similar probably to pine cones or something like that, that often you see them coming down. These little pieces keep on coming down, and they are very bothersome. They fall into your soup, and into your chulent, and into your meat, and into your fish, and into your nose, and on your toes, and it's such a mess. The person says, I don't want to sit here. Every single time I sit here for a suda, I have to have a full cleanup job, and I have to be careful what I eat and what I don't eat. I'm going to move over to the next sukkah. So that's again a bai l'shita, sorry, that even though inherently higi is like hizmi, you should be able to use it, but because it causes the sukkah to be a difficult situation, that's why midrabanan, it is not kosher. And Rabbeisa will stop over here, and we open up the floor to questions, and I see Barry has a question.
Why is unprocessed flax, what we had a type of flax, he said it's not good.
Unprocessed flax is good. Unprocessed flax is good.
Processed flax, I understand it's not a clean, it doesn't have a base kibble. Flax, once it's spun and woven, creates a baguette and it has a rest clean. But processed flax itself is still in such an intermediate stage. It doesn't have a base kibble. It can't become, it can't have tzaras.
Oh, so I'm glad you mentioned that last piece about tzaras. Because if you look at the Rashi, Sechocha Ba'anitze Pishton Psula. See Rashi 5-6 lines before the white lines? You have that? What does Rashi say? Shekein Re'uya Litamei Benigoyim. It is Ro'uy to become Tomei, the Tumas Beged, Nigei Begodim. How do we know? Kimamemadlikin, Ha'unishal Pishton, etc. So you see, in fact, this type of Anitze Pishton, even though it is not full-fledged 100% linen yet, it is close enough to linen that has the status of a beggar that is matam minigoyim. Now, if you're going to say, I'm still not happy, then you have the homework, the last choices, who begins with that idea, benitze pishtan pish, bekunji shikach roi vitam minigoyim, kenom ben maglikin, and Toises says, it's not so clear, because in fact, there's a machloikis, whether it is, whether it isn't. So Toises has a lengthy discussion about the benitze pishtan. But Rashi learns the reason is, it is susceptible to Tumas Begodim, and therefore it has the status of a beged, and if it's processed, it becomes possible for Schach.
Thank you.
You're welcome.